told Tut if I wasn't ready yet just to come up here and start, and then I would catch it in a minute, but Tut left me hanging, so whatever. I'm just kidding. By the way, we have a teen activity on Friday night at 6:30. For those that are interested, I know some of the teens are gone, but those that are still here, if you are interested in that, 6:30 on Friday night. All right, Job chapter 23, and we'll start reading in verse number 10. All right, Job 23, verse number 10, the Bible says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Let's read that passage just once more. Verse number 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this night and the opportunity, Lord, to stand before this church, Lord, before these folks, Lord. We love them. We thank you for them. God, we pray that you would help us tonight through your word. We ask that, God, you would just give us the strengthening and the encouragement, God, that we so desperately need, God. You know, we can't find it off of the TV. We can't find it off of, you know, the internet or our friends necessarily, Lord. We certainly can't find it out in the world, Lord. It's a dry and barren place, Lord, for spiritual encouragement, Lord. And God, we're so thankful for the house of God that we get to come to. And Lord, that you give us what we need to keep on going, to get our minds right and our hearts right with you, Lord, and just motivate us to do more for you in our service for you, God. I pray that you would bless tonight, God. I pray that, God, you would just give me the right words and the right thoughts and the right spirit, Lord, and everything that I need to be a blessing to these folks, Lord. I don't want to just be up here and take up time, Lord. I want to be up here to give them what you've given to me, Lord. I pray that you would do that for us tonight. God, I pray that in the midst of all the things we're going to talk about and all the words that are said, Lord, that your people will hear your voice tonight, and God, that you'll speak to them and that you'll give them what they need, Lord, and God, that you'll touch their lives. We pray you'll do that. We pray you'd bless our group, our pastor, and all the people with him in the Dominican, Lord. We pray you would be just watching over them and blessing them while they're there, Lord. God, we just pray that you would give them a great trip and that they would get back safely, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Bless our time tonight, God. We need you. We need you to speak to us. I pray you give that to us, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm sure pretty much everyone's familiar with the story of Job in the Bible and how, basically, just to summarize everything that Job went through, Job had lost everything. He lost everything. Early on in the book of Job, we have the story of what happened to him and how his 10 children died and how all of his wealth was gone and how everything that he had and that he had built his life on was suddenly stripped away from him. The rug was pulled out from underneath him, and Job had lost everything. It's unimaginable what he went through, the devastation, the affliction, the heartache that this man suffered in the matter of just a few moments, how one after the other of things just kept hitting his life. With no relief in sight. Yet this great man, in the middle of his lowest point in life, he makes an astounding statement to me. And that's verse number 11. It's not necessarily the famous verse that we read, but verse number 11 is astounding to me. Because this is what Job said. He said, "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined." Basically what Job is saying is, in verse number 11, he's saying, I haven't slacked. I haven't slipped. I haven't lessened up. I haven't lightened up. I haven't quit. I haven't given in. I haven't diminished my stand for God. I haven't gone back. I haven't withdrawn in any regard from my walk with God. Now, that's an astounding statement. When you think about and you put in the equation all that Job was going through, he's saying, listen, my foot has held God's steps. I'm still standing where he's told me to stand. Everything that he's put into my life and built into my heart and given me convictions about, and I've made those steps for God. He said, my foot has held his steps. I haven't gone back from that. I haven't retreated from that. I haven't compromised my stand for the Lord. I haven't moved away from those things. I haven't lessened up and weakened my stand one bit. He's saying, I've stood my ground. I've held my ground. You think about a military as they move ahead and they gain ground from the enemy and how they advance and they move their front lines farther and farther into enemy territory, and they take that territory. Listen, once you take that ground, you don't want to give it up. You don't want to retreat it. You don't want to just turn your back on it and let it go for nothing. Listen, Job said, I've held my ground. I'm going through the roughest, toughest thing that I've ever had to go through, the lowest point in my life, the deepest, darkest hour that I've ever had to face, but I've held my ground. Folks, I just want to remind you tonight of this thought. God saved you. If you're in here tonight and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God saved you. And that's something you need to remind yourself of. Listen, he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He brought you up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set your feet upon a rock. He established your goings. He put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Listen, that's what he did for you. Listen, you had no other hope. You had no one else you could turn to. You couldn't turn to some support group. You couldn't turn to some psychiatrist. You couldn't turn to some pills. You couldn't turn to something to revolutionize your life and change your heart and take that guilt away from your sin. You turned to him because he was the only one you could turn to. And he took you out of that. He saved you. Listen, I think it's important for us that we remind ourselves of this fact. You were a sinner. So was I. You were on your way to hell. So was I. Jesus died for your sins and mine. And when you called on the name of the Lord, you were saved. Period. Amen. Listen, folks, remind yourself of that. Listen, you get burdened down, you get beaten down by this world. Listen, sometimes you're trying to serve the Lord and it's not going how you want it to go. You're trying to reach people and they don't want to be reached. You're trying to influence people and they don't want to be encouraged. They don't want to live for God, it seems. And you think, man, God, is this the plan? Is this what you had planned out for my life? Why is it like this? Listen, it's like that sometimes, but you know what you need to do? You need to remind yourself of the gospel. Listen, he brought you out of that darkness. He put you in that marvelous light. He took you out of the kingdom of Satan, and he made you his own son, his own child. Listen, don't forget about that tonight. And I like that verse out of Psalm 40 that I just quoted. Listen, it says he brought us up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set our feet upon a rock. Listen, he made something permanent. He made something firm. He gave us some stability in life. We're not going to sink back down into that hole. We're not going to sink back down into that pit. He's given us something that we can build our lives on now. And not only that, it says he set our feet upon a rock and he established our goings. You know what that's talking about? He got us moving in the right direction. He got us moving in the right direction. He picked us up and turned us around and set our feet on solid ground. He gave us something now in our lives. He pointed us in the right direction. He said, listen, I got a new life for you. Listen, when you got saved, that wasn't the end of the story. It was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. Listen, it's not that's the everything of your Christian life and that's the point of it all. Listen, he's given you a whole life now to live for him, to glorify him, to honor him with. Listen, I want you to think about this for a moment. After he saved you, he didn't stop there. He taught you. Listen, when you showed up in this place or wherever you got saved, whatever church or whatever situation it was, listen, you didn't know much. You didn't know much about God. You didn't know about his word. You didn't know about holiness. You didn't know about soul winning. You didn't know about prayer. You didn't know about the word of God. You didn't know about these things. You didn't know about a bus ministry. You didn't know about Sunday school classes. You would think, what are these things? But listen, he taught you. Listen, he's helped you. Listen, folks, don't forget about that. He's brought mentors into your life. Listen, that on a human level, you wouldn't be what you are without them. They've encouraged you. They've been by your side. They've taught you things. You've asked them questions, and they say, hey, this is how it is. Wow, I wouldn't have known that. Man, thank God for that. Listen, by the way, God doesn't put those things in your life for no reason. Amen. Listen, you should not quit in the Christian life ultimately because of God, because of Jesus Christ, because he died for you. That needs to be the ultimate motivation. But you know another one? Other people have invested in you. They spent time with you. Listen, I look back on people in my life, and I think about my dad. I think about Brother Kenny. I think about Brother Chad. I think about all these different people that have helped me and been there for me. When I've had rough times and when I've gone through valleys in my life, they were there for me. Listen, God put those people in my life for a reason. And how dare I quit on God? All the investment, all the work, all the time, all the labor, all the money they put into me, and I just let it fall to the ground because I don't feel like it anymore. That's some garbage right there.
Listen, he's brought mentors into your life. Listen, think about how the Lord has encouraged you when you were down. When you walked in church that night and you were about to throw in the towel and you didn't think you could go on anymore and you thought, man, I don't know if this is worth it anymore. I think I'm going to quit my ministry. I think I'm going to turn my back on God. I think I'm going to do something that anybody in the church, if they heard about it, they would gasp. They would be shocked by it. I think I might do something like that in my life. Listen, you know when you get discouraged, you start thinking dumb thoughts too. Listen, but how about those times when you were sitting on that bench and you weren't even paying half attention, but pastor got up here and through the Holy Ghost of God, he slammed right down on your issue and on your problem and on your need, and God gave you what you need to keep on going for him. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. Listen, he's invested in you. He spent time with you, and he's given you what you need to keep on going. Listen, and think about this. He showed you steps to take in your life. You remember that, folks? You remember when you heard preaching about, hey, you need to be a soul winner. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, soul winner, what are we talking about? And you ask a pastor or someone in the church and say, what is this thing, a soul winning, visitation, what is that? They tell you what it is. Man, I would like to be a part of that. Then you get out in there and you're kind of nervous about it. They say, go ahead, knock on that door. Give a tract to that person. You're like, no, man, no, I just came to watch, okay? I came to be the silent partner. You know, I prayed for strength all week to be the silent partner. You know, that's my job today. No, why don't you go? I remember the first time I knocked on the door, I was begging the guy that I was with. I said, please, let me knock on the door. He said, you don't know enough. I said, come on, man, let me just try. Let me go for it. Give me a chance, okay? It was toward the end of our night, out on Thursday night, over in Spring Hill Lake, Greenbelt, and he said, all right, fine, I've had enough. You know, I'm like the widow woman that was begging the guy. That's me, all right? Come on, man, give me a chance. You know, it can't be that hard. You know, give me a chance. All right, I knock on my first door. It's a teenage guy comes to the door. You know, when you witness to somebody, I try to take about 2 or 3 minutes. That's what I tell them. I usually take probably 5 to 7, you know? I literally completely witnessed to the guy in about 45 seconds. You say, Tom, that's impossible. I know, okay? I'm a preacher now, okay? It's hard for me to read my text in 45 seconds, all right? It's hard for me to say anything in 45 seconds. I finished the whole gospel in 45 seconds. I was explaining the wrong verses. Man, I was jumping ahead. It didn't even matter. I talked about the wages of sin is death, but I was like, but you know what? He died for you, and he wants you to be saved. Pray this prayer. And the guy's like, you still got 2 verses to tell him. I didn't know what I was doing. But you know what the guy said? I said, would you like to pray this prayer? He said, sure. Now what do I do? Close your eyes. Bow your head. Close your eyes. I didn't tell him this. I'm not closing my eyes because I need to read the prayer off the track. Amen. All right. Can I get a witness right there? You close your eyes. Stop peeking, you know. Dear Jesus. Repeat it. You know, that's what I was doing. I promise you that's what I was doing. But you remember those times, folks, when you were nervous? And you didn't know how it was going to go. And you weren't too sure about it. You thought, Lord, I don't know about this. I mean, people are going to look at me weird. And they're going to say, are you a wacko? Are you a religious fanatic? And I don't even know what to tell them, you know. Are you a religious fanatic? Am I? You know, what am I supposed to say? I don't even know what that means there, Brother Terry. All right, I'm going to keep moving. Oh, you're doing the patent, Dr. Creed thing. Guilty. Okay, I got you. All right. Listen, you didn't know what you were doing. Listen, you came to church. You didn't know how to dress. You didn't know how to act. You didn't know how to do things. You know? They say, hey, can you help out in this ministry? And you think, yeah, sure. And you fall for the wood online 2 or 3 weeks. And you're like, yeah, sure. Hey, 2 weeks, man. Anybody can do 2 weeks. And you're like, 20 years later, you're like, how did 2 weeks was a lot longer than I thought. You know, you're like, how did that happen? Shank, you know what happens every year, man. Yeah, y'all did not hear that. It's off the tape, okay. I did not say anything. Shank does not approve this message, okay. But listen, you remember those moments? Whatever it may be, you can apply it in whatever situation it was in. But they say, hey, would you work on this van route? Or hey, would you help out in this class? Or hey, would you help out in junior church? And why don't you come out on a Thursday night? Why don't you pass out these tracts? And you had no clue what it was about. You need to read your Bible every day. And you start doing it, you're thinking, man, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to try.
And you didn't know how it was going to work out. You didn't know how to pray. You know, I like sometimes when we have new Christians, new converts pray in our group. I like hearing it because they don't know. They don't have all the you know, diplomatic. They don't have all the cool words and all the Christian cliches down yet. They don't. You know, they mix them together. And I love it, man. I love it because we got it all down. Lord, Heavenly Father, Elohim, you know, Adonai, El Shaddai. You know, we got it going on. They don't understand. They're like, is he speaking in English right now? No, buddy, Hebrew, you know. Get with it. But listen, you remember those moments? You didn't know what you were doing, but you know what you did? You stepped out. You obeyed. You know what the Lord did? He brought you victory. You gave that track out, and man, it just so turned out, maybe not your first one, but you started giving out tracks, and after a while, man, somebody comes to church from that. Think, wow, that's amazing. Can't believe it. You start witnessing to people. You start knocking on people's doors, and sooner or later, you lead somebody to the Lord, and you think, man, that's awesome. And it is awesome. Listen, you pray, and you try your best, and you don't know what you're doing, and you're struggling with it, but you continue on, and then you start to see God answering your prayers, and you think, wow, this is pretty cool. Now listen, folks, as time has gone along, God has built things into your life and into your heart. He's built things. What we call those are convictions. Strong beliefs. That's another word. That's how we describe or define convictions. Steps, growth that you've made. And by the way, your convictions need to be Bible convictions. You don't need to have convictions because this is this person's opinion or that situation. You need every conviction you have in your life, you should anchor it to some verse in the Bible. Because if not, you're gonna drop that as soon as the pressure gets turned up. And how many people do, you know? But conviction, steps, growth that you've made in your life. And listen, God's helped you conquer territory and ground that you had no business overcoming on your own. Maybe it was some sin issues, some struggles that you had. I don't know what it was, music or cussing or a thought life or pornography or whatever it may have been that God helped you. And man, you were struggling with it. You had a hard time with it. But God, as you obeyed him, and you didn't know what you were doing, but you just did what he said for you to do. And as you obeyed him, he gave you victory in it. And he helped you do things that were impossible for you to do. But folks, for some in this room tonight, you've given that ground back. You've given that ground back. That stuff that was so exciting and so just it breathed life into your Christian life that you were so excited about it and so enthusiastic about it, for some, they've given that ground back. God's blessed them. God put them in a ministry. God got them involved. God burdened their heart about soul winning. God burdened their heart about praying for people. God built something into their life about standards and about convictions and about music and about dress. And maybe God's given them a family now or a wife or a husband or whatever the case may be. And God's sent them and he's established their goings. He's got them going in the right direction. But for some, they've walked away from that. They've given that ground back. And listen, even if you don't have that problem tonight, even if you can't specify anything in your mind, say, yeah, I've kind of walked away from that. Listen, everybody's under that threat, myself included. Until I got thought of thinking about this message in my own life, and I think, you know what? I don't want to lose my passion. I don't want to lose, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I see it waning. Sometimes I see it weakening, and I think, man, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to get this thing back. Listen, God has built that into my life. God has helped me take that step in my Christian life. I don't want to walk away from it. For some people, God's given you steps that you made in your life, and you very deliberately have walked right back into those steps. I don't want to do that. Listen, whatever ground God has given to you tonight, what I want to preach to you about is this. Hold your ground. Whatever God has built into your life, listen, whatever he's taught you and he's showed you and he's helped you progress throughout your Christian life, hold that ground. Listen, I'll get into this later, but God does not change his mind about those things. Listen, whatever God has told you to do in the past, it's still valid today. We tell our young people at youth conference, listen, you know, whatever it may be about purity or about music or about reading your Bible, faithfulness to church, whatever the area is that we're talking about at youth conference, and we bang on that stuff and we hit it hard and we emphasize it with all that we got. And then at the end of the conference or the end of the service, we have kids coming down saying, man, I commit to this and I commit to that and I'm deciding to do this for the Lord. And that's great.
But it's very disappointing for us as a few weeks later, somehow those convictions have gone out the window. And we think, what's the problem? Well, the problem is the emotion is not turned up for them. The problem is Kenny Baldwin's out of town. The problem is we don't have the focus on them anymore. We don't have the spotlight on them. We don't have the pressure on them right now. And because of that, somehow in their minds, God has changed his mind. I want to tell you tonight, God doesn't change his mind about those things. And listen, if God has built those steps into your life, you need to hold your ground. You need to hold those steps. Don't move back from that. Listen, I'm not saying whatever ministry God got you started in, that you have to be in that exact ministry doing that exact thing that you worked 10 years ago. I'm not saying that. But whatever advancement, whatever progress, whatever steps, whatever growth God has given to you, don't move back from that. We can't afford that. Listen, Woodlawn, we have that problem. We have that problem. And what I want to preach to you tonight about is this. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. Number one, I want you to see in this passage, the first thing is the challenges he withstood. Talking about Job, the challenges he withstood. Because I can understand some people tonight say, well, Tom, hold on. Before you say don't move back and don't backslide and don't do those things, listen, I got to tell you what happened to me. You see, I didn't plan on moving back. I didn't plan on quitting that ministry. I didn't plan on stopping my prayer life. I didn't plan on losing my purity. I didn't plan on going back into pornography. I didn't plan on going back to that old crowd. I didn't plan on that thing, but you see, this happened to me, and I wasn't expecting it, and because of that, I reverted. Well, I want you to consider Job. Verse number 10, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Listen, he withstood some challenges. Far more than any of us will ever have to face. Listen, he's saying, sometimes we make an excuse and we think, well, because of that, that's why I've quit. That's why I've given back. That's why whatever convictions God's given to me, I've just passed those on. The challenges he withstood, I want you to see the comprehension of his creator. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. In the verses prior to that, he's talking about he's searching for God and he can't find him. Can you imagine that? He's in the middle of the worst time in his life, and he's saying in verse number 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him. He's saying, God, I'm searching. I'm crying out. I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. I'm not getting anywhere. God, help me. But you know what he said at the beginning of verse number 10? God knows the way that I take. You know what he's saying? God's got this under control. Even though I don't feel that I'm reaching him right now, God's still in control. Listen, maybe you're in the midst of some situation. Man, it seems like your head is spinning. You don't know which way is up. You don't know what happened. Your world's gotten turned upside down. Listen, God knows where you are. God knows what to do, and he's got a purpose for this trial. He doesn't put you in a situation without trying to make you better out of it because of it. But we forget that. We feel that we all are all alone sometimes. You say, well, Tom, no, this happened to me. I didn't expect it. It caught me off guard. Man, somebody in my family died, or my mentor that had helped me so much, maybe they've backed away from the Lord, or maybe they're not here now, or whatever the case may be. And he's saying, listen, because of that, that's why I've stepped back. No, Job says, God knows where you are, and God can keep you going. He controls. He understands. He sees. And how about this? I believe when Job's saying he knows the way that I take, I think he's saying God's confident in my character. You know what? God put Job through this test because God knew Job would come through it on top. He challenged Satan. Can you imagine that? If you go back in the book of Job, he said, Satan, look at my guy Job. He's perfect. He's upright. He's one that fears me. He eschews evil. He shuns evil. He avoids evil. Test him out. And you know what Satan said to him? He just does it because of what you do for him. You take your blessings off of him, he'll curse you to your face. You know what the Lord said in so many words? Go for it. Try it out. That's what the book of Job is. God was confident in Job's character. Listen, God puts you through these trials and puts you sometimes through these tough times to build you up on the inside, to make you a better person, a better man, a better woman, a better Christian, a better follower of him. Don't forget that, the comprehension of his creator. But he also says the current challenges. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me. You say, what is that? That's what he's going through right then. He's getting tried right then. The current challenges, challenge that he was facing. He was facing it right then. And I like the end of this verse. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what he's saying? I'm going to come out on top. And that's not because of Job. That's not because he was just a tough guy or he was a super Christian or anything like this. You know what he's saying? God's going to get me through this. With his power, with his help, with his presence, he's going to get me through this. I'm going to come out on top. Listen, listen. Whatever situation you're in tonight, don't let that be an excuse for you backing up. Don't let that be an excuse for you backing up. Listen, I remember sitting on that bench right there almost 7.5, almost 8 years ago, Mom. And my dad quoted verse number 11, his last sermon up here. He said, my feet have held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. You know what? My dad wasn't just quoting that off the top of his head. My dad was quoting that from his heart. Because my dad didn't back up, and I don't want to back up. Well, you say, well, we didn't know the world was going to get this bad. You know what God did? God did. Well, I didn't know this was going to happen to my family. God did. I didn't know that person I was so close to was going to turn their back on God and leave. I didn't know that was going to happen, and now it's so much harder on me. Listen, even more so, you got to depend on him, not anybody else. Sometimes, well, hey, I'm all for Christian fellowship and Christian friends. I need them. They help me. They strengthen me. But I can't live my Christian life because of you or you or you. I got to live it for him. And if I'm not gaining my strength for him, whatever anybody else gives me will not cut it. The challenges he withstood. Listen, he held his ground. He's saying, listen, I've gone through the fire. I've gone through this test. I've gone through this examination. And I'm going to get through it. I'm going to pass it. The challenges he withstood. Number two, I want you to see the continuance in his work. Verse number 11, the continuance in his work. This is the real main part of the message here. Verse number 11, he said, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. The continuance in his work. Listen, we're talking about the work of God, the ministry, the serving, the service of the Lord is what he has in view here. He's saying the continuance in his work. You know what he says? First of all, it's a personal stand. Listen, you can't stand for anybody else except yourself. You can encourage others. You can say, come on, man, let's stay in this. But ultimately, the only person you can stand for is yourself. He said, my foot hath held his steps. I've done this for me. Listen. If you're going to stand in 2016, you're going to have to do it for yourself. Listen, young people, you can't always depend on mom and dad. You can't always depend on brother or sister. You can't always depend on your friend that loves the Lord. You're going to have to stand for yourself and say, do I believe this stuff for myself or not? And if you do, stand strong. Hold your ground. He had a personal stand. He prevented it from slipping away. He said, my foot hath held his steps. I haven't let it slip away. I've kept a tight grip on it. I've kept a death grip on it. I'm not letting this thing get away from me. I put in effort. I fought for this. I've worked for it. Listen, if you're going to keep your purity in this day and age, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. Not only purity of life and of body, but purity of mind. You're going to have to fight for it. There's going to be some effort you got to put in. Listen, with all these things, and we'll get into this later, but with all these things, unless you have a walk with God every day, I'm sorry, you don't have much of a chance. You don't have a chance. I'm just being kind about it. You don't have a chance. Listen, you need to be in the Bible. You need to be praying and on your knees and saying, God, help me with these struggles that I'm facing. You got to have that. Nothing will substitute for that. You can come to church every day of the week, but it won't substitute for that. You have to have a personal stand. You have to do it for yourself. He said, my feet have held his steps. I have not declined. I have kept it. And he prevented it from slipping away. He said, I held on to it. I held on to it. Hey, what are you holding on to that's precious in your life? What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Is there a walk with God that's precious to you? Is there a ministry that's precious to you? Is there a future that you have for your children that's precious to you? Hold on to it. Hold on to it, Woodlawn. Hold on to it. Don't back away from it. I know the pressure's getting turned up. I know it's getting difficult out there. I know it seems that sometimes in church it's not as encouraging as you want it to be. The ministry's not working how you want it to go. But listen, hold on to that with all that you have. And he says, the path that he showed me. I've had a personal stand. I prevented it from slipping away. And the path that he showed me. Check this out. I believe this is the main part of everything we're dealing with tonight. Verse number 11. He said, my foot hath held whose steps? Whose steps? His steps. Who's that referring to? God.
Job's not talking about himself in the third person, you know. I have done his steps. No. He's talking about God's steps. Why does he say, my foot has held God's steps? You know why I believe that is? Because God is the one that told him to take that step. Listen, if you're taking your own steps, then you can back off all you want to, and I won't really care. But if God has told you to take that step, and you've taken that step, how dare you back away from it? How dare I back away from it? Listen. Is God not true now? Was he a couple years ago and he just changed? Was it true back then and it's not now? Listen, I don't care how hot and heavy the preaching was that night. Listen, is it still true whatever the man said out of the word of God? I'm pretty sure it is if it came from this book. It's still true. But why is it in our lives we say, well, you know, yeah, God was really burdening me a few years ago. I was involved. I was active. I was soul winning. I was giving out tracts. I was in a ministry. But we look at your life now and you don't have those things. Hey, I know things get busy. I know things get difficult. It's an adjustment. It really is. It's hard. It's difficult at times. But listen, he went through a lot tougher than any of us will. And he didn't quit. He didn't back away from it. The continuance in his work, he's saying the path that God showed me. He's saying it's his steps because he guided me to take those steps. He showed me those steps. He's built those things into my life and into my walk with him and into my heart. I've referred to a lot of these things already, but listen, when God built into your heart and put that burden in your heart about being a soul winner, what's happened to it? Folks, what's happened to it? When he burdened your heart about being holy in all manner of conversation and every way you live, you're going to try to honor and glorify him, whether you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that really hit you at some point in your life and hit you in your heart. And God made a direct hit right here. And you said, you know what? I do need to be holy. I do need to live right. Hey, what happened to that? If God's burdened your heart about the way you treat people, that you need to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving to them, what's happened to that? Listen, for some people, their commitment to God, their church attendance is slipping and slipping and slipping. And I think, man, what's going on? Has Hebrews 10:25 fallen out of the Bible? Have I not checked lately and it just fell out? No, it's still there. And it's still true and it still applies. And we still need to obey it. Listen, whatever ministry God has put you into, listen, I've already said this, but if Brother Bill or Pastor has put you into that ministry, they're great men. But listen, that's one thing. But if God put you into that ministry, listen, God better move you out of it. Because if you're not in that ministry today and God didn't move you out of it, you're in disobedience. And I'm not trying to beat anybody up tonight. I'm just telling you. What are we doing? You know what we try to do? We try to back away from our commitments to God, and then we don't want to think about them. We want to avoid the subject. We just want to come to church and hear a little cute sermon and a little Joel Osteen message and walk out saying, I'm so encouraged. No, you're in sin. Listen. I don't know about you. When I come to church, I need the preacher to be hot and heavy in my face, slamming down on my sin. You know why? Because when I walk out in the world, they're slamming sin in my face. And when I walk in church, I want them to throw righteousness and the word of God and God's holiness in my face because that's what I need. How dare I walk out in the world and the temptations are hitting me in the face and bombarding me from every angle, and then I walk in the church and we say, well, we don't want to offend you. Let me just throw it out there in case anybody's interested. I don't want that. I don't know about you, but I don't want that, folks. I don't want that. I need it in my face. I need it stepping on my toes. I need it in my business. Because you know what? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know how wicked you can be without God, and neither do I. You could do things that you never said you would do without his help. God help us. The challenges he withstood, the continuance in his work. He said, my feet have held his steps. Hey, what has God called you to do that you're not doing today? What does God burden your heart that you've walked away from, that you've backed away from? Listen, you remember you used to have that fire and excitement and fervor for the Lord? What's happened to it? Did God get sick? Has God died and we didn't hear about it? What's the problem? Listen, he's alive and well and he'll help you today, but you know what you need? You need to go after a little harder and say, God, you got to visit me. God, you got to give me my help. You got to be like those two guys on the road to Emmaus that walked and talked with Jesus, that spent some time with him. And then when it finished up and Jesus disappeared, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? They got excited again. They got fired up again. The problem is we start to let our fire dwindle and we don't do anything about it. And we just get farther and farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. And then
invariably we get offended by something about the church or something from the pastor, and then, well, you know, I don't know about Woodlawn any longer. It ain't Woodlawn's fault. And by the way, you know why we have problems at Woodlawn? Because Woodlawn is filled with sinners. Got news for you. Every church is. There's problems everywhere. Man, and you say, well, no, I've been to this church. When you go for a conference, everything is spruced up and looks great. We do it at our conferences too, you know. Oh, man, you know, Kenny Baldwin's coming, Dr. Creed's coming, you know, we're over there on the benches. You know, we got everything shined up, looking nice, everybody looks great, and you're like, man, you didn't look like that on Wednesday. Woo, what happened? You buy a new suit, new dress, got your hair did, you know, you did it all. What happened? My goodness. I'm about to give you a visitor card, you know, when the offering goes by. Excuse me, are you, oh, I know you, you know. I grew up with you, you know. Listen, whatever the path that God has showed you, as I keep saying, if you're making your own steps and calling your own shots in your Christian life, then you can back away from it all you want. But if God has nailed down some stuff in your life saying, listen, get away from those friends that are pulling you down. Get rid of that music that is talking about worldly things and not honoring and glorifying God. Be faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Soul win, if you're able to do that on Thursday or whenever you're able to do that. Listen, if God has nailed down those steps in your life, what are you doing backing away from it? What am I doing backing away from it? Listen, for some of you, you've made great progress that you've seen. Listen, you've done things that for you were impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You remember those sins that you could not beat yourself? You could not overcome them, but God gave you the ability and the power to overcome them. Don't forget about those things. Listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God's not done with you. You may need to get rid of some sin. You may need to confess your sin. You may need to pour out some things to him and say, God, I've been disobeying you. God, I've been backing away from your commands. But God, I'm back here now. I'm sorry for what I've done. And God, can you use me again? And he can. He can. Listen, I know of a man that did much worse than you ever will. You say, what do you mean? How about Peter? Denied that he even knew the Lord 3 times. And how about this at the end of the book of Mark? You know what Jesus said? He said, go tell my disciples and Peter to meet me. Why did he include Peter? Because guess what? Peter had failed so miserably, he didn't even consider himself one of the disciples anymore. He had messed up that bad. He's saying, I'm not even a part of them. Look at what I did. I'm fired. I'm gone, man. They don't want to hear about me. Jesus said, no, call the disciples and that guy Peter, because I can still use him. And just a few weeks after that, he got up on the day of Pentecost, and I don't know what happened to Peter. God got a hold of Peter. He wasn't weak and wimpy anymore. He stood up on the day of Pentecost in front of 3,000 or more Jews, and he preaches the word of God. And he says, this Jesus Christ whom you crucified, he has become Lord and Christ. And he says, you need to repent and call upon his name and be saved. And 3,000 people got saved, baptized, and joined the church. Not bad for that guy that messed up a few months ago. Listen, he can do it for you too. Don't lose sight of that. Listen, it's amazing. It's exciting what he's done. He's washed you. He's sanctified you. He's justified you. He's done great things in your life. We did some verses, memorizing some verses a few weeks ago, and you remember when God called Moses and he said, I want you to go into Egypt and tell them, let my people go and all these different things. And what does Moses start to do? He makes excuses. Well, Lord, see, you know, I don't talk so well, and I kind of struggle with that. You want me to stand in front of the most powerful man on the face of the earth right now and kind of, you know, give him some arguments why my people should leave. I can't do that, Lord. You know what the Lord says to him? Who made your mouth? If I were Moses at that point, I'd just go, there's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can say. I'm like, you pulled that card, God? You know, like, there's nothing you can say. It's over. Case closed. Next, you know? That's what happened. He said, Moses, who made your mouth? You know what he's saying? I'm in control. And I can take your weak self, Moses, and I can use you to deliver my people from the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time. I can do it through you. You know what he says the next verse? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know what he's saying? Step out. Trust me. You know what the problem is? The problem is not on God's end. The problem is with us, we have stopped taking those steps of faith. You know what? The Christian life is a life of faith. We always talk about we walk by faith, but not by sight. But we don't listen to that. We don't think about that a lot of times. Listen, you're never going to be done with faith here on earth. Romans chapter 1 says, from faith to faith. You know what I'm saying? From one level of faith to the next level of faith. You trusted him for your eternity. You got saved. Praise God. How about baptism? That's the next level of faith you got to reach. And for us that have gone a few steps after that, listen, how about when things get hard and things get discouraging? Jesus, God's saying, hey, you going to take another step of faith with me or are you going to roll out? The progress that you've seen. I need to hurry up. Listen, you've come a long way by God's grace. Listen, he's made you a soul winner. Now, for some of you, you're a ministry leader. Woo-hoo, you know? Big stuff now. You have a Christian family. Watch out. Listen, that's great stuff. But sometimes we covet the blessings of God so much when God gives us those things, we say, okay, God, thank you. And we walk away from him. Who gave you that ministry? Who gave you that burden? Who gave you that ability? Who gave you that job? Who gave you that family? Not lose track of that. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says this, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The devil's after your convictions. The devil's after your what God has built into your life. He wants those things to slip away. You know what most people say? When you talk to them, man, what happened to you? You used to be a soul winner. You used to be in this class. You used to be working hard for the Lord. What happened? You know what most of them say? Man, I don't know. Just little by little. Little by little. He says, I haven't pulled back from that. I haven't declined. I haven't dwindled. I haven't deteriorated. And then the last thing is this, folks, and I'll be done. I'll be quick with this. The challenges he withstood, the continuance in his work. And number three is this, the connection to the Word. You know why people quit? You know why people quit in the work of God? Because they've become disconnected from the Word of God. Listen. You disconnect yourself from this book. Eventually, I don't care how great you are in your ministry. I don't care how much talent you have. I don't care how much leadership ability and how much charisma you have. If you disconnect yourself from this book, sooner or later, it'll all fall apart. I will and you will.
Oh, he's such and such, man. He's pastor's kid. Who cares? He's got status in the church. Who cares? In fact, the devil would rather knock down somebody like that than a brand new one. Because maybe he can kill a few birds with one stone. Listen, if you want to stay committed to the work of God, you've got to stay connected to the Word of God. Listen, folks, when you start moving back, look at verse number 11 again. It says, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. What is he saying? What's the picture here? He's saying, I haven't moved back from it. Some things have been blown against me. Some wind has hit me. Some difficulties have hit my life, but I've held strong. I've held those steps that God has told me to take. Okay? So he's continuing in the work of God. But check out the beginning of verse number 12. Neither have I, what? Gone back from his commandment. That's my point exactly. If you go back from the Word of God, eventually you'll go back from the work of God. Listen, if you don't have a burden to give out tracts, if you don't have a burden for your lost family members anymore, if you've just moved on from that and you've matured past that, if you do your ministry but you just kind of go through the motions and it's really not that big a deal whether it goes well or not for you anymore, somewhere along the line, I think you may be disconnected from this book. You know what happens when you get deeply into the Word of God? You start getting a heart for the things that God has a heart for. You start caring about the things that he cares about. You start sacrificing for the things that he sacrifices for. The connection to the Word. It equates with the same. What is he saying? He's saying, I haven't exited from the source. He's saying, neither have I gone back. I believe Job is saying, this is the key. This is the key. This is why I haven't gone back from those steps God has put into my life. Why? Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He said, I haven't moved back from the Word of God, and that's what's kept me strong. Listen. It's your fuel. It's what keeps you strong. It's what keeps you energized. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's talking about the Bible. He hadn't exited from the source. He hadn't.
Listen, when he says, I haven't gone back, notice this word. Gone back, it means withdrawn. It means to remove or to depart. Have you withdrawn from the Word of God lately? And he esteemed the Scripture. It says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Esteem, what does it mean? It means to treasure. It means to highly regard it, to value it. Hey, folks, you know how we can tell? You know the only way to prove that you value, you treasure, you esteem the Word of God? By how much you use it. It's not by necessarily how much you talk about it or how many, you know, verses you post on social media. I'm not against it, but listen, that's not your walk with God. Every day, Tut, every day, I do the verse of the day thing. Every day. Committed, man. Dedicated. No, that's not going to do it for you. That's not going to do it for you. Listen, you got to dive in deep and say, God, feed me. God, I'm weak. God, I want to do what's wrong here. God, you've got to help me. It's proven by use. Hey, how much do you think about the Word of God? How much do you meditate on it? How much do you talk about it? Not in cliches, but talk about the Word of God and what you learn from it. How many lessons do you pass on to others? How much help do you get from it? And then he says, listen, I have esteemed the Scripture even more than my essential sustainment. He says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth, his word, more than my necessary food. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I care more about the Word of God than the food that I need to survive. Come again, right? What are you talking about, Joe? He says, I care more about the Word of God and what God says to me than the food that I need for my very survival. Wow. I don't think any of us are there. Unbelievable. And then you have to put forth effort to get your supply. Listen, if it's as important to you as your food, you're going to go after it. You're going to go after it. I was given a prayer request in our group back there, and I'm not going to get deeply into it, but somebody was telling me their story yesterday, and they had been in a war-torn country about 20 years ago. Just unbelievable things that they went through. And they told me that, pray for them. I'm trying to get them to come to church and get saved, and hey, hopefully they can tell their story to a group in our church or something. We'll do whatever we got to get them here so that they can hear the gospel, okay? But they were telling me that everything they had was taken away from them. This person's house was, a bomb was dropped in their house. Four family members killed instantly, sitting around the dinner table. One survived that was in the other room. I can't relate to that, Tuck. That's stuff you see on movies. That doesn't make sense to me. Okay? But this person said everything they had was gone. They had the clothes that were on their back, and that was it. And they said, we would get a bite of bread about every 3 days. Whew. You want to talk about desperate for food? Listen, mine is nowhere comparable. You know, I hit about 7-8 hours a day without food, and I'm like, I need something, you know. Where's a Wendy's, McDonald's, something, you know. Anything. You get desperate for it. Hey, do we ever get that way with the Word of God saying, you know, God hadn't spoken to me lately. God, I need something. You ever show up to church saying, God, speak to me, please, please. You know, sometimes, man, we're more worried about, God, let me out early. You know, I got stuff to do. Well, I hope it's an entertaining message. You know, I hope I'll laugh a little and cry a little. I mean, this is not a movie. This is the Word of God. When was the last time you walked into church saying, God, you got to speak to me? God, I was about to fly off the handle today with people, and God, I'm struggling with pride and lust and all these things. God, you got to speak to me. I'm messed up. When's the last time you opened your Bible in the morning saying, God, you got to help me today? Folks, that's what we need. That's what we need. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the folks that are here tonight. Lord, we love them. And God, these are faithful people. God, I just pray you would help us. God, there is always pressure on us to move back to those things you have solidified in our life, to start to weaken, to start to uproot. And God, as time goes along, I've seen many that step back. God, help us to hold our ground. God, whatever that may be. And Lord, maybe there's some people that they've held their ground, but they're getting just a little bit weak. God, I pray that you would fortify them tonight. And Give them that strength that they need, Lord, not to move back, but to move ahead. Lord, maybe some people have moved back and they've quit and they've walked away from their ministry or whatever responsibility that you've built into their life, conviction that you've put in their heart. God, I pray that you would help them tonight. God, we're not trying to slam them down and kick them. We're not trying to discourage them. God, we would just want to say that God can still use them. And God, that his power can overcome all those failures they've had and pick them up and dust them off and get them back in the fight. Lord, I pray you would help our church tonight. I pray you would just use this quick time of invitation that we have, Lord. Speak to people's hearts. And God, help us to make decisions and not just make those decisions, but hold on to them, to hold our ground. Thank you, Lord, for being a great God to us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand.